Okay, good morning, and so try to feature some special music from time to time like that. So that was a neat clip for you to see in the background, the videos from the Amazing Grace movie, so encourage you to check that out. Our messages over the last few weeks have been titled Come and See. We are featuring the events in Jesus' life after the resurrection. So we started on Easter morning with the first set of events, and now we'll finish up this morning with the last in that series. And so again, we see the title screen there, Come and See, Part 3. Jesus appears to his disciples after the resurrection. So a lot of the events, especially even the one in this picture here, and actually we have that picture on the back wall back there. That's Jesus on the road to Emmaus with the disciples. And again, that was a very mysterious event. Jesus just appeared with these gentlemen that were walking from Jerusalem to Emmaus. It's about a 7-mile walk. And along the walk, unknown to them, he was disclosing, a lot of things about, the purpose for Jesus' life on earth and so forth. And they didn't know it was him while he was walking. So it was very mysterious. There was other mysterious events when the disciples were gathered together and Jesus just appeared in the room. And so, again, Jesus has been known to do some very interesting and mysterious things. But I would like to show you at least 10 things that I don't think really are appearances of Jesus. And again, this is it's a little bit of humor. Pictures are a little fuzzy sometimes, but anyway, on this one, I don't believe that Jesus really did appear on this piece of pizza. Some people think he might have. Or actually, this fish stick, I really don't think Jesus takes the time out of governing eternity to make appearances like this on pizza or fish sticks. Here's one where a woman thought that Jesus appeared on a tortilla and actually caused down in Mexico some people to actually revere and worship this tortilla. I don't think that's God's purpose. I don't think he wants us to worship food. And here we go. Even though Jesus called himself the bread of life, I don't think he makes appearances on pieces of toast. There we can kind of see what some people thought might have looked like Jesus showing up on toast. If Jesus was going to appear at IHOP, I think he'd just show up. I don't think he'd show up on a piece of toast. And there's again, I know this is a little harder to pick out, but here's what some people think is a picture of Jesus on a pancake. And there he is on a biscuit, they thought. I don't think the Lord does those sorts of things. But anyway, and number 5 here, even though Jesus loves everyone, even rednecks, he doesn't paint himself on the dirt on tailgates of pickups. I don't know if you can pick that out. There's the eyes and nose. Some people think that might have been Jesus showing up on a pickup. I don't know if that shows up there. But anyway, he washes our sins as white as snow, so why would he want to appear on moldy walls? There's, again, some places that have been set aside where people actually have set these places out and think that the Lord may have actually appeared that way. This is one I think a little more interesting. We know that he puts the stars in their places and calls them by name, but this real picture of a nebula from the Hubble telescope is only a reflection of his glory. Again, you have to kind of use a little imagination to see his face there. And Jesus knows our hearts and our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, but Jesus does not make cameo appearances in X-ray or ultrasound pictures. And there's a little picture of a panoramic view of a jaw. And this is an ultrasound picture. There's a baby right there. And then there's a little picture where this one was going around the internet not too long ago. Anyway, I like these. Finally, as we will read today, Jesus was taken up into the clouds as he ascended into heaven. The angels foretold that he will return in like manner, but I don't think this is what he had in mind, not like this. But I thought it was a really interesting cloud formation there. You see the head and the arms like a crucifixion. And there's a cross and a little picture of Jesus in there. So seriously, getting back to the real study, Come and See Part 3. Okay, we're going to pick the story up in John chapter 21, if you have your Bibles with you. John chapter 21, verses 15 to 25. This is reading out of the New Living Translation. After breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Going back to our last lesson, Jesus was at the shore of Galilee. The disciples were out fishing, and they were out in familiar form, fishing all night and getting nothing. And then, again, Jesus, sort of semi-disguised, calls out to them from the shore and says, hey, cast the net on the other side of the boat. And so they do so, and they bring in a big load of fish. And so Peter jumps in the water, swims to shore, and now we pick up the story. Peter, probably dripping wet, standing by the campfire, Jesus is cooking breakfast. And after breakfast, Jesus says to Simon Peter, this, you know, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? And yes, Lord, Peter replied, you know that I love you. Then feed my lambs, Jesus told him. Jesus repeated the question, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, Peter said, you know that I love you. Then take care of my sheep, Jesus said. A third time he asked him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter was hurt that Jesus asked the question a third time. He said, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Then feed my sheep. I tell you the truth. When you were young, you were able to do as you liked. You dressed yourself and went wherever you wanted to go. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and others will dress you and take you where you don't want to go. Jesus said this to tell him, to let him know by what kind of death he would glorify God. Then Jesus told him, follow me. So again, in this story, classic story of Jesus essentially restoring, challenging Peter and restoring him. He challenged him with the question three times, do you love me? And then he gave him a command, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. And he says, follow me. Again, without getting into a lot of detail, Jesus uses three different words, do you love me, in this little interchange between he and Peter. And basically, he's challenging Peter's love and his devotion. He goes through the different words for love, phileo, agape, phileo, agape, and anyway, the other one isn't that important, but the point is that he's asking Peter, do you love me, agape, and saying, do you love me in a deep spiritual kind of love? And Peter's saying, yes, I phileo you, I like you like a brother. And then the final time Jesus says, well, Peter, do you phileo me? Do you love me like a brother? And he says, yes. So that was as far as Peter was able to go. But we're going to find out in a little while that an event's going to happen that's going to change all that and give the disciples, and especially Peter, the ability, the inner ability to take it further. Okay, so the next slide, verse 20, Peter turned around and saw behind him the disciple Jesus loved, the one who had leaned over to Jesus during the supper and asked, Lord, who will betray you? Peter asked Jesus, well, what about him, Lord? And Jesus replied, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? As for you, follow me. And again, when he says follow me, it was understood that he meant follow me in this sacrificial life and ultimately which will lead to your own martyrdom, to your own crucifixion. So, verse 23, so the rumor spread among the community of believers that this disciple wouldn't die. But that isn't what Jesus said at all. He only said, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? This disciple is the one who testifies to these events and has recorded them here. And we know that his account of these things is accurate. Jesus also did many other things. If they were all written down, I suppose the whole world could not contain the books that would be written. So again, John the writer is recording this event as he remembered it and remembering that he was following along behind Peter and Jesus. And then Peter would say, well, what about him? You know, the Lord's kind of taking Peter and challenging him to new depths of his commitment. And Peter's kind of like, well, that's fine, Jesus, but what about him? So again, the idea here, I think, is that we need to remember that, that the Lord is going to challenge us directly and give us our own cross to bear, if you will. The Lord, elsewhere in the Word, challenges us to pick up our own cross and follow him. Not to pick up somebody else's cross. You can't walk my walk, and I can't walk yours, and we can't walk each other's, and we can't follow each other's calling. We have to be true to what the Lord has called us to do. So again, let's see. One thing I wanted to point out too in this little interchange, you know, back to verse 3 of chapter 21, Peter was the leader of the disciples, and he's the one that decided to go fishing, after all. And the disciples really regarded him as a leader. And the Lord was going to use that calling to advance the kingdom of God by giving Peter the authority to lead the group. Okay, So the next series of events, we're going to go to a different gospel. We're going to go to Luke chapter 24, verses 44 to 49. And we'll pick it up there. Jesus speaking, Luke chapter 24, in verse 44 down to 49. Jesus says, "When I was with you before, I told you everything that was written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and in the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said, "Yes, it was written long ago that the Messiah would suffer and die and rise from the dead on the third day. It was also written that this message would be proclaimed in the authority of his name to all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem. There is forgiveness of sins to all who repent. You are witnesses of these things. And now I will send the Holy Spirit, just as my Father promised. But stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven." Wanted to bring out that verse where it says he opened their minds. We need the Holy Spirit in our lives to help open our minds to the scriptures. Have you ever had that experience when you read a passage of scripture? Maybe you're just doing some devotional reading and you'll get to the bottom of a chapter and you go, "I have no idea what that was just about." So you maybe go back and read it again and maybe you get a little bit out of it, but still you kind of go, "Eh, not so much." Maybe months, years later, you'll read that same passage and it's like it's jumping off the page. And it means so much. It's just, that's the action of the Holy Spirit, really embedding that in your being and enlightening your mind to understand. And so that's what Jesus was promising, that he was going to send the Holy Spirit and then the Holy Spirit would empower them. And he says to wait for him. So then in verse 50 of Luke 24, verse 50, Jesus led them to Bethany. Remember many of the stories that happened in Bethany, including the story of Lazarus, and there are things that happened there. Well, anyway, they're back in Bethany, and lifting his hands to heaven, he blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up to heaven. So they worshipped him, and then returned to Jerusalem, filled with great joy. And they spent all their time in the temple praising God. So I wanted to bring up, too, he blessed them. The Lord was giving them, he was imparting something fresh and something new to them, giving them the courage to obey, and he told them to go to Jerusalem and wait for him there. So they went back to Jerusalem, and it says they spent all their time in the temple. I think the Holy Spirit would empower them to have other ideas. I don't know that God's plan is to have us spending all of our time in the temple. But that was appropriate. They were filled with wonder at what they'd just seen. They'd just seen Jesus lifted up out of their sight into heaven. And then, again, they were told to go to Jerusalem and wait. And we're going to find out. We're not going to cover the coming of the Holy Spirit, but at least back to from there in Luke, I'd like to go forward into the book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. Again, we just finished up in Luke. Acts was written by Luke. And so in Acts chapter 1, Luke begins the book by stating this. He says, I missed a slide there. Sorry about that. There's a little slide of Jesus ascending and the disciples all looking up in wonder. Okay, so now we've got Acts chapter 11, verse 1. "In my first book, I told you, Theophilus, about everything Jesus began to do and preach." So in my first book, he's talking about the Gospel of Luke. He wrote about everything Jesus began to do and to teach. Interesting word there, Theophilus. There's some discussion about whether that's somebody's name. It appears that he's writing to a person, but a person named Theophilus. The word Theophilus, though, Theo, God, Philus, meaning lover. So, lover of God. So in my first book, I told you, lover of God, about everything Jesus began to do and teach until the day that he was taken up, until he's taken up into heaven after giving his chosen apostles further instructions through the Holy Spirit. During the 40 days after his crucifixion, he appeared to the apostles from time to time and he proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive. And he talked to them about the kingdom of God. So again, a lot of that discussion where it says he talked to them about the kingdom of God, he was actually kind of having to do a rewind, saying, "Okay, remember all along I kept telling you that I was going to be crucified according to the scriptures, according to the prophecies. Go back and check out Isaiah. Go back and check out the Psalms. There's many places where the word foretold that the Messiah would have to suffer. They weren't looking for that. They were looking for the other passage of Scripture where it said that the Messiah would come as a conquering king. So again, the disciples missed it. Most of the Jews missed it. In fact, almost all of them really did. Until he really did fulfill the Scriptures, he returned from the grave and fulfilled more prophecies about himself. So again, in Acts 11, Acts 1, 1 through 11, Luke is just reminding them again of the things that had happened. It says that he proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive. And you know, we talked last time about the story of Thomas and how he had appeared to the disciples there, and he had said to Thomas, you know, come and put your finger in my side where they pierced me in my hands. Okay, in verse 4, once when he was eating with them, he commanded them, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised, as I told you before. John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom? Again, that's why the Jews missed it. They thought that he was going to come and overthrow the Roman government. And he replied in verse 7, the Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So again, Jesus commanded them to wait and not to leave Jerusalem. And he said that you are going to be telling me about people everywhere. So again, that's the fulfillment that we have in our lifetime. We have the not only the words of Jesus that were in Matthew 27 when he told them to go out into all the world and preach the gospel to all nations. Well, now they're going to be given the power to do it. They could not do that themselves. They didn't have the power in themselves to even stand by the cross when he was crucified. And they hid, you know, shaking, you know, in fear until after the resurrection. And even when Jesus did raise from the dead, and the ladies were at the tomb to tend to the body, and they came back with the miraculous story. The Lord Jesus has come back from the dead. They didn't believe it. You remember this? They were very skeptical until he actually came and appeared to them personally. Okay, so again, we're going to be given the power at Pentecost, which has not yet come. So in the next slide, verse 9, after saying this, Jesus was taken up in a cloud while they were watching, and they could no longer see him. As they strained to see him rising into heaven, two white-robed men suddenly stood among them. Men of Galilee, they said, why are you standing here staring into heaven? Jesus has been taken from you into heaven, and someday he'll return from heaven in the same way that you saw him go. So, again, back to verse 8, I'm going to back up just a little bit. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, Jerusalem, throughout Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So again, Jesus, his last words are words of encouragement. Okay, you've seen a lot of very strange and fantastic things. You watched me minister to people. I want you to minister to people the way that you saw me minister to people. I know you can't do that just yet, but you're going to receive power in just a little bit from now. And again, so then he went up into heaven, and the witnesses of the angels, whoops, sorry about that. The angels came and basically gave the disciples the instructions, hey, don't stand here staring off into heaven. Go do what you were told. Go wait for the power that Jesus has promised you. So again, we've been given that promise, and that promise involves the power of the Holy Spirit. We're going to pick up in a series a little bit later on in the year here about the commands of Jesus and how those are fulfilled in the power of the Holy Spirit. So we'll do that in just a little bit. The next series we're going to do after this, starting next week, I just thought it was really exciting to start a series about heaven. All this talk about, you know, eternal life and Jesus going up and ascending into heaven. What is heaven? So that's what we're going to be doing in the couple of 2 or 3 weeks to come. We're going to be doing a series on heaven and the exciting promises of God that are going to be ours in heaven. So that pretty much wraps up our study in the events of Jesus' life after the resurrection. So we follow Jesus from his resurrection over a 40-day period and to this final culminating event in his resurrection. So a lot of exciting things to think about. about heaven, and I'm looking forward to going through those things with you guys in the coming couple of weeks. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just ask that you would just be with us this week as we go about considering all the things that you've done for us. And we just ask you to open our minds, just like you opened the minds of the disciples 2,000 years ago at that event where you met with them and you taught them. And we just ask, God, that your Spirit would open our minds and teach us as well as we open your word this week and study from your word. So thank you, Lord, for being with us this morning. We ask again a special blessing on each one here, and we ask, God, that you would again just bless those that couldn't be with us this morning, and again, we just thank you for your presence this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.